कुमाराणां भवस्य च विज्ञानस्य च सत्त्वस्य परस्यात्मा परायणम् धर्मस्य मम तुभ्यं च कुमाराणां भवस्य च विज्ञानस्य च सत्त्वस्य परस्यात्मा परायणम् धर्मस्य मम तुभ्यं च कुमाराणां भवस्य च विज्ञानस्य च सत्त्वस्य परस्यात्मा परायणम् परस्यात्मा परायणम् धर्मस्य मम तुभ्यं च कुमाराणां भवस्य च विज्ञानस्य च सत्त्वस्य परस्यात्मा परायणम् धर्मस्य मम तुभ्यं च कुमाराणां भवस्य च विज्ञानस्य च सत्त्वस्य परस्यात्मा परायण माताजि धर्मस्य मम तुभ्यं च कुमाराणां भवस्य च विज्ञानस्य च सत्त्वस्य परस्यात्मा परायणम् वट् वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग्स् धर्मस्य आफ् रिलिजियस् प्रिन्सिपल्स् आर् आफ् यमराज् मम मैन् तुभ्यम् आफ् युवर्स् च अण्ड् कुमाराणाम् आफ् द फोर् कुमारस् भवस्य लार्ड् शिव च अण्ड् आल्सो विज्ञानस्य आफ् ट्रान्सेण्डेण्टल् नालेज् च आल्सो सत्त्वस्य आफ् ट्रूत् परस्य आफ् द ग्रेट् पर्सनालिटि आत्मा कान्शियस्नेस् परायणम् डिपेण्डेण्ट् ट्रान्स्लेशन् आल्सो दि कान्शियस्नेस् आफ् द ग्रेट् पर्सनालिटि इस् दि अबोड् आफ् रिलिजियस् प्रिन्सिपल्स् Mine, yours, and those of the four bachelors, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar, and Sanandan. The consciousness is also the abode of truth and transcendental knowledge. So there is no purport. So we will be reading verses 13 to 16, and then there is a purport for those verses. So I will read, you don't have to repeat. अहम् भवान् भवश्चैव तैमे मुनयोग्रजाः सुरासुरनरानागाः खगा मृगसरीसृपाः गन्धर्वाप्सरसो यक्षा रक्षो भूतगणोरगाः पशवपितरः सिद्धा विद्याधराश्चारणाद्रुमा अन्ये च विविधा जीवा जलस्थलनभौकसः गृहरक्षकेतवस्तारास्तडितस्तनयत्नवः सर्वं पुरुषमेवेदं भूतं भव्यं भवच्च यत् तेनेदमावृतं विश्वं वितस्तिमधितिष्ठति ट्रान्स्लेशन् एण्ड् पर्पोर्ट् बै हिस् डिवैन् ग्रेस् एसि भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद् ट्रान्स्लेशन् बिगिनिङ्ग् फ्रम् मी ब्रह्म डौन् टु यू अण्ड् भव आर् शिव आल् द ग्रेट् सेजस् हु आर् बार्न् बिफोर् यू The demigods, the demons, the nagas, the human beings, the birds, the bees, as well as the reptiles, etc., and all phenomenal manifestations of the universe, namely the planets, stars, asteroids, luminaries, lightning, thunder, and the inhabitants of the different planetary systems, namely the Gandharvas, the Apsaras, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutaganas, Uragas, Pashus, Pitas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, and all other different varieties of living entities, including the birds, bees, trees, and everything that be, are all covered by the universal form of the Lord at all times, namely past, present, and future, although He is transcendental to all of them, eternally existing in a form not exceeding 9 inches. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by His partial expansion measuring not more than 9 inches as super soul, expands by His potential energy in the shape of the universal form, which includes everything manifested in different varieties of organic and inorganic materials. The manifested varieties of the universe are therefore not different from the Lord, just as golden ornaments of different shapes and forms are non-different from the original stock reserve of gold. In other words, the Lord is the Supreme Person who controls everything within the creation, and still He remains the supreme separate identity, distinct from all manifested material creation. In the Bhagavad Gita, He is therefore said to be Yogeshwara. Everything rests on the potency of Lord Shri Krishna, and still the Lord is different from and transcendental to all such identities. In the Vedic Purusha Sukta of the Rig Mantra, this is also confirmed. This philosophical truth of simultaneous oneness and difference was propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is known as Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. Brahma, Narada, and all others are simultaneously one with the Lord and different from the Supreme Lord. We are all one with Him, just as the gold ornaments are one in quality with the stock gold. But the individual gold ornament is never equal in quantity with the stock gold. The stock gold is never exhausted, even if there are innumerable ornaments emanating from the stock, because the stock is Purnam. Of course, this is spiritual stock. In the material world, if you keep removing, it will become over. Even if Purnam is deducted from the Purnam, still the supreme Purnam remains the same Purnam. This fact is inconceivable to our present imperfect senses. Lord Chaitanya therefore defined His theory of philosophy as achintya and or inconceivable, and as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya's theory of achintya bheda bheda tattva is the perfect philosophy of the absolute truth. Om Ajnanatyamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, the current conversation that is happening is between Brahmaji and Narada Muni. So Narada Muni had approached Brahma and he asked these 6 questions. Yad rupam, yad adhishtanam, yat srishtam idam prabho, yat samstam, yat param, yatcha, tat tattvam vada tattvatah. He asked these 6 questions. Yad rupam, what are the characteristics of this universe? Yad adhishtanam, what is the shelter of this universe? Yat srishtam, how this universe is created? Yat samstam, and into which does it merge at the time of dissolution? Yat param, and who is the supreme person on whom everything else is dependent and everyone else is dependent upon? Yat cha, and what are the material constituents? What are the constituents of this universe? So, in the 5th chapter, the first 3 questions were already answered by Brahmaji. Yad rupam, what is the form of this universe? He says, dravyam karmacha kalascha swabhavo jiva evacha vasudevat paro brahman nacha anya arthosti tattvatah. My dear Narada, whatever you see in this world is constituted of these 5 things. Dravya, karma, kala, swabhava and jiva. Vasudevat paro brahman nacha anya arthosti tattvatah. And because all these are energies of the Supreme Lord Vasudev, you should understand that there is nothing else that exists other than Vasudev. Okay, yadrupam. So the form of the universe is basically the energy of the Supreme Lord in the form of dravyam, karma, kala, swabhava and jiva. And yad adhishtanam. Who is the shelter of this universe? Narayana Paraveda, Deva Narayana Angaja, Narayana Parayoga, Narayana Paramaka and so on. Whatever you think in this world is worthy of taking shelter, you should understand that Lord Narayana is the shelter of all of that. So the ultimate shelter is Lord Narayana. And then, Yata Srishtam, how this universal creation manifests, that was also described by Brahmaji as to how it all starts with the Lord waking up from his yoga nidra and understanding that it's time for creation. And then he glances at Pradhan or Prakriti and impregnates the Prakriti, which is Kala Shakti and Jiva Shakti. And how that agitates the 3 gunas and the whole creation starts. And all that in great detail he describes it in the 5th chapter. And then 3 more questions remain unanswered, which he answers it in the 6th chapter. So the 6th chapter starts with answering the 6th question, the last question, which is yat cha. What is this universe composed of? So basically, the answer is that the universe is composed of the vibhutis of the Supreme Lord. So that's what will be described in this chapter. Now, interestingly, if you see, Srila Prabhupada titles this chapter as Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Very strange, because except for this one purport where one passing reference to Purusha Sukta, there is hardly any mention of Purusha Sukta in the whole chapter by Srila Prabhupada's purport. But Srila Prabhupada titles it as Purusha Sukta Confirmed. But interestingly, the other acharyas explain why Srila Prabhupada titles this chapter as Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Why, what is so special about Purusha Sukta? So actually, traditionally, if you see, when right from the time when Shankaracharya commented upon the Vedic scriptures, he established that Shrutis are far more superior than the Smritis, you know, the Vedas and the Upanishads. And it was for a purpose, because in the Upanishads, the language is so convoluted that it gives an opportunity for multiple interpretations. And therefore, it's very easy to present the philosophy of Mayavad by some twistings and turnings and some word jugglery, it is possible. But the Smritis the Puranas, Itihasas, they speak in a very straightforward language. It's very, very difficult to twist. It is not spoken in, you know, ambiguous language at all. So what he did is that he presented that the Shrutis are more authentic than the Smritis. So he relegated the Smritis to a secondary, not so important position, which is akin to outright rejecting them in one sense. So subsequently, when the Vaishnava Acharyas came, they had to establish their own philosophy, whether it is Srila Ramanujacharya establishing the Vishishta Dvaita or Madhvacharya establishing the Dvaita, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers establishing the Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Wherever they had to establish the authenticity of their parampara, they had to extensively quote only from the Shruti Shastras. The Mundaka Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, Shvetashvatara Upanishad, and they have to quote only from these Upanishads and establish, because those were the Upanishads which were often quoted by Shankaracharya to establish his own Mayavad philosophy. But actually, if you see, in the conclusions which come across through these Shruti Shastras or the Upanishads, they come out in a much more direct, sweet way from the Puranas. So, therefore, if you see traditionally, whether it is Sri Vaishnavas, Madhvites, or our Gaudiya Vaishnavas, for internal nourishment, for the nourishment of the insiders, there is an almost exclusive acceptance of the Smritis only. If it is Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it is Srimad Bhagavatam primarily, and subsequently Chaitanya Charitamrita and other such literatures. And if you take the Sri Vaishnavites, you know, it is primarily, you know, the Vishnu Puran, Ramayan, and the writings of their own Acharyas, the Divya Prabandham, and all those things. In that, for internal nourishment, when Sri Vaishnavas talk with each other, philosophy or scripture, they speak only Smritis. Similarly, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But when it comes to establishing, like for example, Baldev Vidya Bhushan was challenged. So, he had to present the commentary for the Vedanta Sutras, and then an acceptable commentary of Bhagavad Gita. So, if you see in those literatures, he would have extensively quoted from the Shrutis, from the Upanishads. But otherwise, if you see the other commentaries, not so much. At the most, they may quote from Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which is not quoted by any other sampradayas, generally. Not that they reject that Upanishad, but it is not considered to be an Upanishad which establishes the superiority of Lord Narayana. Right? So, they don't quote. So, oftentimes, you know, the Vaishnavas had to establish how the Smriti Shastras were on the same footing as the Shruti Shastras. So, for example, Srila Jiva Goswami, when he started compiling the Sandarbhas, in his very first Tattva Sandarbha, he first establishes that how the Shrutis and the Smritis are on the same footing. Then he very slowly establishes how the Smritis are actually better than even Shrutis. And then how of the Smritis, Bhagavatam is the topmost. He establishes that. Right? So, traditionally, the Vaishnavas always had to contend with these, you know, the first Mayavadi presentation that Shrutis are superior. And Smritis always have to do the catching up, you know, with the Shrutis. So, the Rig Veda, the Purusha Sukta prayers are one of the most popular prayers from the Rig Veda, which is a Shruti. Okay? And it is often quoted. Interestingly, you know, in the demigod temples also you will see Purusha Sukta chanted. In the Vaishnava temples also you will see it chanted. Because even though Purusha Sukta is a very popular hymn, పురుష సూక్త ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ డస్ నాట్ స్పీక్ ఇన్ వెరీ ఎక్స్ప్లిసిట్ లాంగ్వేజ్ హూ దట్ పురుష ఇస్. ఓకే, సో ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ వెరీ క్లియర్, అట్లీస్ట్ ఎక్స్ప్లిసిట్లీ ఇట్స్ నాట్ సో క్లియర్. సో భాగవతం ఎస్పెషలీ ద 5th చాప్టర్ అండ్ ద 6th చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద 2nd క్యాంటో దే ప్రెసెంట్ వర్సెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ ద సేమ్ అస్ పురుష సూక్త ఇన్ సమ్ వర్సెస్ ఇన్ వర్డ్స్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ సమ్ వర్సెస్ ఇన్ మీనింగ్ బట్ భాగవతం స్టార్ట్స్ విత్ ఫస్ట్ ఎస్టాబ్లిషింగ్ హూ దట్ పురుష ఇస్. ఓకే, సో ఇన్ ది 5th చాప్టర్ బ్రహ్మాజీ సేస్ ఆఫ్టర్ ద హోల్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫామ్ ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ ఫ్లోటింగ్ ఆన్ ది కారణోదక ఓషన్ అండ్ దెన్ హీ సేస్ వర్షపూగ సహస్రాంతే తదండం ఉదకేశయం కాలకర్మ స్వభావస్థో జీవో అజీవం అజీవయత్. హీ సేస్ ఆఫ్టర్ ది యూనివర్సల్ ఎగ్ వాజ్ ఫ్లోటింగ్ ఇన్ ది కారణ ఓషన్ ఫర్ 1000 ఇయర్స్ దెన్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు ఎంటర్డ్ దట్ యూనివర్సల్ ఎగ్ filled it with garbhodaka ocean, lied on it and gave it life. Jeevo ajivam ajivayat. Till that time when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu entered that universal egg, that universe was ajivam. It was not functional. Ajivayat, he gave it life. Then in the next verse he says, Sayeva purushas tasmad andam nirbidya nirgataha sahasroru angri bahuakshaha సహస్రానన శీర్షవాన్. ఇట్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్ దట్ వెరీ సేమ్ పురుష విచ్ ఇస్ గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు దెన్ మేనిఫెస్టెడ్ దిస్ ఫామ్ విచ్ హ్యాస్ 1000 legs, 1000 feet, 1000 arms, 1000 eyes, 1000 faces, 1000 heads, లైక్ దట్ విచ్ పురుష సూక్త సేస్ సహస్ర శీర్ష పురుష సహస్రాక్ష సహస్రపాత్ సభూమిం విశ్వతో వృత్వా అత్యతిష్టత్ దశాంగులం. దట్స్ వాట్ పురుష సూక్త సేస్. ద సేమ్ థింగ్ ఈవెన్ దో టిల్ ది ఎండ్ ఇట్ డస్ నాట్ క్లారిఫై హూ దట్ పురుష ఇస్, భాగవతం స్టార్ట్స్ విత్ మెన్షనింగ్ హూ దట్ పురుష ఇస్. స ఏవ పురుష తస్మాత్ అండం నిర్భిద్య నిర్గత. దట్ వెరీ సేమ్ పురుష గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు, హీ పియర్స్ త్రూ ద యూనివర్స్, ఎంటర్డ్ ఇట్, లేడ్ ఆన్ ది గర్భోదక ఓషన్ అండ్ దెన్ మేనిఫెస్టెడ్ ది యూనివర్స్ which is described to be having 1000 legs, 1000 feet and 1000 hands and so on, right? Like that. So in this way, if you see throughout this 5th chapter and 6th chapter, almost I think some 11-12 verses the acharyas identify are exactly identical to the Purusha Sukta verse. Okay, like for example another verse comes, purushasya mukam brahma kshatram etasya bahavah ఊర్వోర్ వైశ్యో భగవతః పద్భ్యాం శూద్రో వ్యజాయత. యునో, సో దిస్ ఇస్ హౌ ది ఫోర్ వర్ణాస్ యునో దే అరోస్ ఫ్రమ్ ది వేరియస్ పార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ది పురుషాస్ బాడీ. సిమిలర్ వర్సెస్ దేర్ ఇన్ పురుష సూక్త. బ్రాహ్మణోస్య ముఖం ఆసీత్ బాహూ రాజన్యః కృతః ఊరు తదస్య యద్ వైశ్యః పద్భ్యాం శూద్రో అజాయత. భాగవతం సేస్ పద్భ్యాం శూద్రో వ్యజాయత, పురుష సూక్త సేస్ పద్యాం శూద్రో అజాయత. సేమ్ మీనింగ్, రైట్? అండ్ దిస్ వెరీ సేమ్ వర్స్ యునో 12-16 వి ఆర్ కవరింగ్. ద 16th వర్స్ సేస్ సర్వం పురుషమేవేదం భూతం భవ్యం భవచ్చయత్ తేనేదమావృతం విశ్వం వితస్థిం అధితిష్టతి. ఇట్ సేస్ పురుష సూక్త సేస్ సభూమిం విశ్వతో వృత్వా అత్యతిష్టత్ దశాంగులం పురుష ఏవేదం సర్వం యద్భూతం యచ్చ భవ్యం. సేమ్ థింగ్, సేమ్ మీనింగ్. We will not go into the meanings of these verses because that is not the point. But the point is that now that by establishing how the Purusha Sukta is confirmed, and not only that, Bhagavatam further reveals who that Purusha is also. So through the Purusha Sukta prayers, who is glorified? Lord Vishnu. That is very clear. So, what is established here is, not only are the Shrutis and Smritis on the same footing, but also Bhagavatam or the Smritis reveal details which the Shrutis may not so explicitly mention. So, that way, Srila Jiva Goswami establishes that Purana oftentimes may translate to be that which is very ancient or old. But he says, no, that could be one of the meanings, but the meaning of that Purana means that which makes something Purna. That is Purana. So therefore, the Shruti is which may leave some ends loose are actually tied by the Smritis and the Puranas. So they make the whole Vedic gamut Purna. So the Shrutis, Shruti Prasthan, Smriti Prasthan, Nyaya Prasthan, all these are all a part of the same Vedic gamut. So Puranas are those which make this whole series Purna. Okay, like that he establishes. Anyways, so there are so many verses, the 18th verse, 19, 20, 21, 28, 29, all these verses actually are exact replica of the Purusha Sukta verses. That's why Srila Prabhupada titles this chapter as Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Okay. But for us who are, we are not so well versed with the Shruti Shastras, so for us, how does it really matter whether Purusha Sukta is confirmed or not, like that we may think. But it's a big deal historically if you see for what the Vaishnavas had to, contend with the Mayavadis and all that. It's a big deal. So then, currently the section that we are discussing is a description of the universal form. And this is little strange. Even though the Bhagavatam is very clear that this universal form is an imaginary form, but there is so much repetition of the universal form again and again and again. There are three descriptions of universal form in the second canto alone, spanning over 5 chapters. And second canto has only 10 chapters, which means almost 50% of the chapters talk about the universal form, which Bhagavatam itself very explicitly agrees it's a imaginary form, it's not a real form. In the sense, there is no real Purusha who exists with all the planetary systems as his limbs. That is an imagination. The planetary systems are real. But there is no real person who exists with the universal planets as his body, as his bodily limbs. It is just an allegorical way of telling that just as a person has full control over his body, similarly the Supreme Lord has full control over this universe, because the universe is his body in a sense, but not really. Because the Supreme Lord's body is not made of matter. It is made of, chit shakti, not bahiranga shakti or his material energy. So now, there are three descriptions of this universal form. You may say, why is Bhagavatam being so repetitive? But if you carefully look at it, these three descriptions in the second canto have three different purposes. For example, the first description of the universal form comes in the first chapter of the second canto, in which Srila Sukadeva Goswami is speaking about two types of yogis. One are the regular yogis who have no material desires, they have no material goals, their only goal is liberation. So such yogis meditate on the form of Paramatma within the heart. But there are the second category of yogis who have their primary goal is liberation, but secondarily they also have a desire to enjoy in the material world, check out the various kinds of material enjoyment, and then eventually attain liberation. These type of yogis are called as Krama Muktas, those who get gradual liberation. So for such kind of yogis who do harbor some material goals also, apart from the primary goal of liberation, they are recommended to meditate on the universal form, so that they understand that whatever I am trying to enjoy actually belongs to someone else. So, you might want to consider giving up those goals and actually consider liberation as your only goal. That is the purpose. So, in order to facilitate their meditation, this universal form is described in the first chapter as an object of meditation of these yogis, which is called as Dharana Ashraya. Dharana Ashraya. The shelter of their meditation is this Virat Rupa. So, the first description, he says, Andagosha Sharirasmin Saptavarana Samyute Vairaja Purusho Yoso Bhagavan Dharana Ashrayaha. Vairaja Purushaha, this Virat Purusha is said to be the Dharana Ashraya, the object of meditation of these yogis. Okay. And then this description is like Patala are the soles of his feet, the Rasatala are his heels, the Mahatala are his ankles, Talatala are his calves, and so on. You know, this kind of description comes so that a person can meditate, the yogi can meditate on this form. Even though this is an imaginary form, but still there is a bona fide way in which he can imagine this form. He should not be imagining anything else. So, for that purpose, to facilitate his imagination, there is this first description which comes in the first chapter of the second canto. Then, what we are reading now is the second description. I will come to that little later. Then, the third description comes in the 10th chapter of the second canto, the last chapter. Okay. In that description, if you see, the purpose of the description is how in this material world, desires shape our gross body and subtle body. That is the message that is being communicated through the third description of the universal form. So therefore, if you see, this third description of the universal form is very interesting. So the description is like this. He says, and then the universal form desired to eat. The Virat Purusha desired to eat. Then what happened? Then the mouth manifested in the Virat Rupa. Then what happened? Then the grass tongue, talu, manifested. Then the subtle tongue, jihwa, which is used for tasting, the ability to taste, that manifested. Then what happened? Then Varuna manifested. Varuna is the sense devata who assists the sense of taste. He manifested. Then what happened? Then the sense object, taste, rasa, manifested. Like that. So, first comes his desire. From the desire, then the grass body, then subtle body, then the sense devatas, everything manifest. Then the universal form desired to see. Then what happened? Then his grass eyes. Akshini manifested. Then his subtle eyes, Chakshu, manifested. Then Surya Dev, the sense devata for aiding vision, he manifested. Then the sense object, form, manifested. So basically, this description goes like this. But actually, what does it mean that the universal form desired? There is no such form. The universal form desired means it is a symbolic way of telling that every jiva gets his grass body and subtle body according to his desires. The desires shape the grass and subtle body. Just like in the universal forms, grass and subtle body means the desire of the conglomerate of all the jivas of that particular universe. They don't have a single desire, but they all have individual desires based on which the various grass elements, subtle elements, and everything manifests. Okay. So, in order to communicate this, actually the third description of the universal form is there. Okay. So, then the second description of the universal form is what we are discussing right now. This has a totally different purpose. Even though the description may look somewhat similar, but if you carefully look at it, it is different. It is describing the same universal form, but the purpose is different. So in this description, if you see, the description is like from Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's grass tongue manifested Varuna in the universal form, and Jihva in the universal form. You know, how from the grass body of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, the subtle body of the Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, practically everything in this universe manifested from that. Okay. So now one may wonder, grass body, subtle body, how can Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu have grass body or subtle body? Because he is supposed to have a spiritual body, right? Yes, but spiritual body or spiritual elements also have variety in terms of grass, subtle and everything. Just that, grass also is spiritual, subtle also is spiritual. In the material world, grass is material, subtle is also material. So, therefore, you know, that kind of a description comes, you know, how practically every part of the Virat Rupa manifests is actually the ingredients of that Virat Rupa is actually coming from Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So, so now someone may say that, see, one thing I have heard, the ultimate cause is the Supreme Lord. But what we have heard is that the material cause of this universe is Prakriti, matter. And the effective cause is actually time, Kala. Right? So, but now here, what are you suggesting here? Right? So, you know, there is material cause and effective cause, right? So, material cause means when you are trying to make a pot. Okay, the pot is made. The potter, the clay is the material cause. Okay, clay transforms into pot. But clay in itself will not transform into pot. You need a potter who has to shape that clay, bake it, and do all such things. So, the potter is called the effective cause or nimitta karan. Then there is the potter's wheel, the stick which is used to rotate the pot, that is called as instrumental cause, sahakari karan. Okay. So, in this material world, the material cause is said to be matter, pradhan. The effective cause is said to be time, kala. But Bhagavatam says, yes, but that is only on a superficial level. Ultimately, the material cause of this universe is also the Supreme Lord only. And the effective cause is also the Supreme Lord only. Huh? How? Because pradhan is his energy only. Right? So, pradhan is his energy only. So, therefore, it is like telling, what is the source of reflection that you see on a mirror? Someone may say mirror. Someone may say the person standing in front of mirror. Right? So, the Lord is that person who is standing in front of the mirror. Mirror is Mayadevi. Just that, this matter or Maya is a highly convex or concave mirror. So, when you look at the reflection in a highly convex or concave mirror, the reflection is highly distorted. It's not exactly representing the original person who is standing in front of the mirror. So, similarly, when the spiritual bodily parts of the Supreme Lord manifest through the agent of Maya, they become the vitiated transformation, or as Srila Prabhupada calls, perverted reflection. That is matter. But the source of that matter is the Supreme Lord only. So that is vibhutis. The material vibhutis are just perverted reflection, just what you see on a highly concave or a convex mirror. The source of that reflection is the person standing, but the reflection doesn't look anywhere close to the person who is standing. Huh? So similarly, it is all the bodily parts of the Supreme Lord. He is the material cause also of this universe. But when it comes through the agency of Maya, that perverted reflection looks very different. The Lord's bodily parts are Satchit Ananda, whereas the material vibhutis are not. They are temporary, perishable, not so supremely attractive. Right? So therefore, it is mentioned that even though speech and fire, etc., arise from the material energy, they are said to arise from the bodily parts of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Why? Because they are vibhutis of the Lord's various limbs, such as mouth. They are vibhutis. Vibhutis means perverted reflections. Okay? And because Maya is the Shakti of the Supreme Lord, and because Shakti Shaktimatayor Abedat, because of the non-difference between the Shakti and the Shaktiman Purusha, therefore it is not wrong to say that the cause of the material cause of this universe is Prakriti. Is that wrong? No. The material cause of this universe is the Supreme Lord. Is that wrong? No. Just that we need to know in what sense. In what sense it is correct. So, therefore, there is primary attribution and secondary attribution. Like for example, let's say Radha Gopinath temple has three cars. Okay. Innova 1, Innova 2, Innova 3. Let's say. Okay. And three drivers have been assigned the three cars, responsibility for the three cars. Okay. Let's say driver 1, driver 2, driver 3. So, you may say that, Prabhuji, I need to go to the airport. Okay. You can take the car. Which car? You may say, Daruk Prabhu ka gaadi. Daruk Prabhu's car. Is it wrong? No. Because he is responsible for it. But ultimately, is it Daruk Prabhu's car? No. It is Radha Gopinath's car. Right. So, as long as we understand in what context it is mentioned, so therefore, is the Supreme Lord the material cause of this universe? Yes. Is material energy Pradhan the material cause of this universe? Yes. Just that we have to know in what sense. That's all. And also ultimately, these material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and their expansions, in the spiritual world, they are all eternal and spiritual. Like in one of the previous classes I was mentioning, their names are also mentioned in the Shastras. The spiritual ether, which causes spiritual sound, is called as Parameshti. That which is called as Kham is Parameshti. Air, which is called as Vayu, in the spiritual world it's called as Puman. Fire, Agni, its spiritual counterpart is called as Vishwa. Water is called as Nivritti. And earth is called as Sarva. In the spiritual world, they manifest elements like earth, water, fire, air, ether, but they are not like of this material world. The material earth, water, fire, air, ether are the vitiated transformations of these spiritual elements. Right? So they are called as vibhutis. Okay? And actually, after this description, you will see a few verses down the line, Brahmaji himself shares a very interesting experience. Brahmaji says to Narada Muni, that he's, you know what, one time when I got up from my sleep, I understood that I had to perform some yajna to please the Supreme Lord and start the creation. But when I tried to find the ingredients of that yajna, I could not find any of the ingredients. All I could find was the bodily parts of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. His legs, his hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears. So what did I do? I collected all the ingredients from his bodily parts and performed that yajna. Like that it is mentioned. So now what is it that he is actually describing? What does it mean when he says that I could not see any ingredients? I could see only the bodily parts. What it means is that he could actually see that how the Supreme Lord is the source of everything in this material world. As the second verse of Chatushloki Bhagavatam says, Rite artam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayam yatabaso yatatamaha. Illusion means inability to see the connection of a particular object with the Supreme Lord. That is illusion. So Brahmaji was granted the vision which was beyond illusion, that he could literally see that how everything, every single manifestation of the Supreme Lord has its source in the Supreme Lord. So basically, it is not that even we are doing the same thing. In one sense, practically what Brahmaji saw that time, we are also seeing the same thing. That there is Purusha Avayavan Rite. He says, Yada Asya Nabhyad Nalinad Aham Asam Mahatmanah Navidam Yajna Sambharan Purusha Avayavan Rite. I could not see anything else other than the limbs of the Supreme Lord. Which means, the limbs of the Supreme Lord are the source of everything in this material world. Even now. But we don't have that vision to see. But we are allowed to see through the vision of the Shastras. The Shastras are presenting here. Even though we are not able to see, even Pradhan we cannot see in one sense. It is subtle. So, you might ascribe it to Pradhan or ultimately ascribe it to the Supreme Lord. If you are willing to see through the vision of the scriptures, we do understand ultimately even the material cause of this universal manifestation is the Supreme Lord. So, these manifestations are called vibhutis. So, now, why do we have to understand these material vibhutis? Is it necessary? We will see from Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday also, Purushottam Prabhu was sharing from this 10th chapter, which is called as Vibhuti Yoga. Opulences of the Absolute. So, Krishna starts this chapter. Interestingly, if you see, the 10th chapter comes immediately after Krishna says, Manmana, Bhava Madbhakto, Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru. As after very firmly establishing pure devotional service, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yajana Paryupasate Apichet Suduracharo Bhajate Mam Ananyabhak Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma and so on. So after establishing all these things, suddenly he starts talking about the vibhutis. Why? Why is it relevant for a devotee even to learn or understand these vibhutis? So Krishna starts this chapter by telling, Bhuya eva mahabaho shrunume paramam vachah Yatte ham priyamanaya vakshami hitakamyaya. Please hear again, my dear Arjuna. I am going to speak this very confidential subject matter to you because you are filled with prema and you will be happy to hear this. And what is he going to hear? He is going to hear about bhakti. He is also going to hear about the vibhuti of the Supreme Lord, the power of the Supreme Lord. Now, why? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti writes, by knowing the powers of the Lord, one understands that the Lord is worthy of worship. So to have that appreciation of the Supreme Lord, at least whatever is the manifest material universe, because we can't see the non-manifest spiritual world which is not manifest to our eyes, but at least the manifest material world we can see. How everything that we see in this manifest material world is controlled by the Supreme Lord. How everything is a manifestation of His vibhuti. When we understand, naturally develops a sense of respect. Okay. So, and then he says, now the Lord will explain the powers in detail. For what purpose? for the pleasure of those who have devotion. So, which means those who have devotion, when they hear about these vibhutis, it should give them pleasure. That is the purpose. Later Krishna says, etam vibhutim yogam cha mamayo vetti tatvatah saha avikalpena yogena yujyate na atra samshayah. He says that one who hears about this bhakti yoga and also hears about these vibhutis, the power of the Supreme Lord, saha avikalpena yogena yujyate na atra samshayah. That person will engage in undeviated devotional service. Of this there is no doubt, he says. Which means the purpose of these presentations is just to invoke devotion. There is no other cause. Right? So, and then Krishna starts describing his vibhuti in a very summarized way. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate, iti madva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvita. He says, in essence, what is my power? Aham sarvasya prabhavah. Whatever you see in this universe, I am the source of everything. Mattah sarvam pravartate. I am not just the source, but I am the very operating principle as Paramatma. Iti matva buddhah. That intelligent person who understands this, bhava samanvita mam bhajante. He worships me with great devotion, with great love. So the purpose of describing Krishna to be the source and the maintainer of this material universe, what is the purpose? Avikalpena yogena yujyate. Bhava samanvita mam bhajante. The purpose is that. Right? So, after briefly mentioning this, Arjuna says, Vaktum arhasya sheshena divyahi atma vibhutayah. Yabir vibhutibir lokan imamstvam. Vyapyatishtasi. He says that, my dear Krishna, you have very briefly mentioned this vibhuti. I want to know about it in detail. Now, why? Why you want to know it in detail? Because attention to details is a sign of love. It is but natural that someone who has love wants to know things about his object of love in detail. Right? So, whenever, for example, you know, my sister calls my mother. You know, let's say my mother went for a yatra. So my sister calls my mother and she asks, oh, I went for this yatra. I went to this place. My sister says, no. Just tell me, right from the time you left from home, what all did you do? Okay. You took a cab. You took the station. Okay, we traveled in the train and reached that. No. Tell me who all traveled with you. So, what did you carry for prasadam? So, all these details, why? Because all those details are in connection with her object of love, the mother. She will not be satisfied with any details being compromised because those details are in connection with the object of her love. Similarly, Arjuna says, no, you have summarized it. I am not here to hear your summary. I want in detail, vistarena, in detail you please speak. You should speak about them fully. Okay. So, at least speak about those vibhutis which I can see. Imam tvam vyapya tishtasi. Please speak about those vibhutis through which you, manifest in this material world. So, and then he says, Bhuyah kataya triptirhi shrinvato nasti me mritam. I will never be satisfied hearing about your vibhutis. So, make it as elaborate as possible. Okay, like that he speaks. Okay. And then Krishna starts speaking about his various kinds of vibhutis. And the very first vibhuti that he mentions is super soul. Aham atma gudakesha. Sarva bhutashayastitaha. Aham adishcha madhyam cha bhutanam antayeva cha. I am the super soul present in every living entity, controlling every living entity, and so on, like that. And then starting from that, he speaks about various different vibhutis of the Supreme Lord. And he says that because all these vibhutis or material manifestations are all shakti, they all arise from the energy of the Supreme Lord, therefore they are worthy of meditation. Even though some are preferable to others. Okay. Krishna says in the 7th chapter, Rasoham apsu kaunteya, prabhasmi sasishurya yohu, pranavaha sarva vedeshu, shabdakke paurusham drishu. You know, I am the taste of water. You drink water, you remember Krishna. So water is a fit object of meditation. The light of the sun and moon are fit objects of meditation. But the deity form is a more important object of meditation because, you know, as he says here, all are to be considered as worthy of meditation as forms of the Lord, even though some are preferable to others. Why? Because some of those forms more completely represent Krishna. And some only less completely represent Krishna. Those manifestations of his material energy less completely represent Krishna. And those manifestations of the spiritual energy more completely represent Krishna. Therefore, when you meditate, therefore those forms which more completely represent Krishna are fitter objects of meditation than those which less completely represent Krishna. Okay. And that meditation is anukulyana Krishna anushilanam. Right. And he presents in the rest of the chapter, he presents that of all the horses I am Uchai Shrava. Which means Uchai Shrava is his vibhuti. Now, all the horses, are they vibhutis of Krishna or not? They are also vibhutis of Krishna. Then why he says, of all the horses I am Uchai Shrava? Why? Because anything extraordinary in a category, we tend to approach it with a great sense of respect and adoration. And that is the way in which we are supposed to approach Krishna. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Right? So therefore, it's not that the other horses are not Krishna's vibhutis, but the best amongst them, you approach with that much more respect. So therefore, he remains the best, remains Arjuna the best. You know, of all the elephants, I am Airavata. Of all the luminaries, I am the moon. Because there is a greater adoration, there is a greater respect when you approach the moon in compared to the other luminaries. Not that the other luminaries are not his vibhutis, they are also his vibhutis. But a moon is a more complete representation of Krishna. Therefore, like that. Anyways, so I will just end with this. Actually, after speaking this whole chapter, Brahmaji says that Yata harau bhagavati nrinam bhaktir bhavishyati sarvatmani akhiladare iti sankalpya varnaya. So before this he says, idam bhagavatam nama puranam brahma sammitam. Idam bhagavatam nama yanme bhagavatoditam sangrahoyam vibhutinam tvametad vipulikuru. He says, what I have spoken to you till now is Bhagavatam, which was spoken to me by the Supreme Lord. It is a compilation of the vibhutis of the Supreme Lord. Tvametad vipulikuru. Now you spread it. And how you should spread? Yata harau bhagavati nrinam bhaktir bhavishyati sarvatmani akiladare iti sankalpya varnaya. You should spread this message in such a way that it invokes devotion in the heart. So the purpose of all these descriptions, any description of Bhagavatam is meant to inspire devotion. It is not devoid. Not even a syllable of Bhagavatam is devoid of this purpose. Dashamasya vishuddhyartam navanamiha lakshanam varnayante mahatmanaha shrutena archena cha anjasa. The purpose of the description of all the 9 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam is to inspire attraction towards the 10th topic of Krishna. How it inspires, we cannot know at our immature state of devotion. But the speaker of Bhagavatam knows. Just like the doctor knows how this medicine is going to function on the patient. Even though the patient may think, I am putting the tablet in my mouth, how is it going to cure my headache, which is happening here? But the doctor knows how the medicine functions. So therefore, we should have trust that not a single syllable of Bhagavatam is actually devoid of this purpose of ultimately helping us develop our attraction towards Krishna. So therefore, these vibhutis also have to be approached with due diligence, with proper mood of appreciation. As Prabhupada says, there are other explanations by Srila Prabhupada, but we don't have time. We have already crossed time, so I will pause here. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.